guys, welcome back to another week of Autastic, your comedian's guide to autism. I'm one of your hosts, Kirk Smith, and we have a special episode this week, so it'll just be me and an interview we are posting of Jill Escher, who interviewed Dr. Alan Brown, who's a doctor of epidemiology at Columbia University. He's got his degree from Johns Hopkins, I believe, and he talks about the research they're doing into finding out early connections between the schizophrenia, bipolar, and autism. And he was the first to demonstrate basically the documented prenatal exposure to influenza, which I think is just the flu, rubella, and toxoplasmosis, and other inflammatory biomarkers that they basically could cause a risk for schizophrenia. And then he talks about the connection between the risk factors for schizophrenia and autism. He basically did a study based on Finnish data. Anyway, it's very interesting. This is a little bit of a special episode. Graham is in New York City doing shows, and I just wanted to, I think this is interesting. I'd like to do these science episodes like once a month just to educate all of us, me especially, on what's going on in the field. And well, without any further ado, let's roll this interview.
Hey everyone, roving reporter Jill Escher here. I am roving around New York City, and I've roved all the way uptown to Columbia University. And I have the honor of sitting with a very well-known autism researcher, Alan Brown. Hello, Dr. Brown.
Hello, Jill.
Very good to see you again. I've known Dr. Brown for years, and he is a very well-known epidemiologist of autism and also some other disorders like schizophrenia. Dr. Brown, can you tell everyone what epidemiology is?
So epidemiology is the study of things that may cause diseases, and also it studies how frequent diseases occur in a given population. And we study, we do most of these studies in large populations or selected populations. And we also do a lot of work on advancing the methods, understanding better the methods by which we can find different factors, like risk factors that could increase the risk of getting different diseases.
So you're looking at human groups, right? Human populations, to see what could be increasing the risk for autism or other neurodevelopmental disorders, right, in the children. So you're generally not looking at genes. You're generally looking at factors in the environment, factors in their, you know, medical histories that might be relating to increased risk.
Exactly. And we use data. A lot of data have already been collected. For example, we're studying a big sample in Finland where they have these big registers, which are basically large databases that where they collect data on a variety of environmental exposures. And also we can look at blood samples that were collected and analyze those samples for different environmental factors that we think may be related to these disorders such as autism.
Right. And one thing that's interesting to note, because Dr. Brown just mentioned Finland, is these kinds of studies are very hard to do here in the U.S. because in the U.S., we do a really cruddy job of retaining medical records and kind of consolidating them and putting them in online in a way that a researcher like you could be able to investigate links. But in other countries, they do a very good job of retaining these records. And so researchers like you in New York often have to travel to places like Finland to do autism research.
Yeah, that's correct. And we really benefit from the fact that those countries have universal healthcare and socialized healthcare systems. But in addition, they put a lot of effort into making sure that all these data on risk factors and on different diagnoses of people in the population all get stored and recorded in an electronic registry. And so we can put together all these data and look at how risk factors are related to getting the disorder. And that includes studies in pregnant mothers. And their mothers as well, or their fathers.
So let's talk about some of the things that not just your research, but maybe more broadly. What are some of the risk factors that epidemiological research has uncovered that relate to autism risk?
Yeah, so there are many risk factors that have been uncovered. Some have to do, you know, with the pregnancy and the birth. Things like infections in pregnancy, early birth, low birth weight, things of that nature. Older fathers and on older mothers, in some cases younger mothers, that's been shown to be a risk factor. The drug Depakote, which is a valproic acid, which is a drug given
that's
for bipolar disorder.
Bipolar disorder related. Or for epilepsy. You know,
or epilepsy.
Yeah, women who have seizures.
Or epilepsy mm-hmm. has also been linked to autism. So autoimmune diseases, like these are proteins that affect your own cells. They've been associated with autism in both the children and and parents who have autoimmune diseases. Their offspring have an increase in risk of getting autism. And also things like folic acid deficiency during pregnancy has been related. And giving folic acid supplements seems to reduce the risk of autism.
And I think another one is when a mother has PCOS, right? Mm-hmm. Has that one been found?
Yes.
PCOS is polycystic ovarian syndrome. And there's been, you know, I wouldn't say a strong connection, but at least a demonstrated risk.
There is in a study in Sweden, they showed that.
So all of these different risk factors, however, it's not like, I think we should be clear, it's not like these things are gigantic, except maybe in the case of Depakote. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't have such a strong signal that they explain, mm-hmm. right, a whole lot or a huge portion of the growth in autism, right? Can you quantify these risks across the populations at all?
Yeah, I mean, there's two measures that we use. So one is simply to look at how many times the increased risk is if someone was exposed to the risk factor versus they weren't exposed. So that's one way to look at it. A second is to say we can address, there's a measure that we have called population attributable risk. And what that basically means is how much of the disease can you eliminate if you completely eliminated the exposure? And when we use that, actually, in some of our earlier work, we actually found, for example, that eliminating three environmental risk factors for schizophrenia could reduce the risk of schizophrenia by as much as 33%. So it's possible that there could be particular autism risk factors that, when we looked at it in this way, may have these even larger effects on a population level that we don't mm-hmm. When we use a traditional analytic method, we may not see it.
So that's interesting. I'm just curious, what were the three factors that could help reduce schizophrenia in the population?
So one was influenza and mother exposure to influenza. The other was mother's exposure to an infection called toxoplasma. And the third was a mom's exposure to sexually transmitted infections. And we put those three together. The risk was reduced by about one third. That was in a different cohort. It was in California.
Oh, that's fascinating. Wow. Yeah, we tend to think of these things as very genetically driven, but no, there are clearly external influences, especially early in life, if you're talking about fetal development, that could have long-term impacts, right?
Yes, yes. And my thought is, I think environment plays a big role, genes play a big role, but a lot of the money is going to be, I think, looking at how genes and environment relate to one another.
Right. I'm definitely a fan of that hypothesis, as you know. So, I know you just had some papers published. You just had one paper published on DDT exposure increasing risk of autism in the offspring. And DDT was a toxic pesticide that was used and is still used in some countries, for example, in Africa to reduce malaria, to kill mosquitoes. But it was used in the West for some years until it was found to be so toxic to wildlife and also to humans that it was banned. But it's one of those very persistent chemicals. So even though it was banned, the chemical still hangs out for a long time. Can you just really summarize what you found in your recent paper?
Yes. Yeah, so what we studied is a large sample of cases of autism, almost 800. And controls, they were people without autism, and we compared the two of them with regard to their mother's exposure to DDT in pregnancy. And we looked at a chemical breakdown product of DDT called DDE in the study, and we found that the mothers of the autism cases had higher levels, significantly higher levels of DDE in their blood compared to the mothers of the people who didn't have autism. And we also looked at PCBs, which is another toxic compound that we measured. Both of those.
So wait just a second, because I think our listeners won't know what PCBs are. PCBs were a very, very toxic chemical that were used widely as insulators of like electronic equipment and things like that. I mean, I don't remember what else it was used for, but mostly insulators and telecommunications equipment. And basically, these PCBs don't go away. Yes. They don't just deteriorate. They are very persistent, but they're very, very toxic. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, and so we measured PCB levels, and we found no difference in between the levels of the PCB between moms of cases and moms of the controls. And what I think it tells us is there may be something specific about what DDT did in terms of the way the infant brain developed, that and they may point us towards a biological mechanism that could be related. So the other thing was with the DDE finding is that we had the biggest effect for children who had autism with intellectual disability compared to those who didn't have intellectual disability. The biggest effect was in that subgroup. We found an overall effect for autism, but particularly that group of autism with intellectual problems. Yeah.
Very interesting. Well, that's great. Dr. Brown, we need to wrap it up. It's been great to learn a little bit about epidemiology. So now you've all added this word to your vocabulary, epidemiology. That has 7 syllables, so that will be really hard for Kirk to pronounce, but practice it at home. But it's a very, very important branch of research, especially for uncovering what might be driving these increasing autism rates that we see, at least here in this country. So is there anything else you'd like to tell our listeners?
Just that we're really working very, very hard to identify more environmental factors that could cause autism, and with Jill's help as well, looking at germ cell effects and other environmental exposures. So hopefully we'll have a lot more to tell you about in the next couple of years.
Well, it's fun being a research geek and being able to sponsor some autism research, looking at long-term effects. And I appreciate all the work you do, Dr. Brown. And thank you for bringing epidemiology to the Autastic podcast.
Thank you.
Well, that's it. Epidemiology. Wow. That's a handful. And it's a very interesting it's very encouraging, all the research that's going on here and trying to figure out a little bit more of the background and where we're going with this. Appreciate your letters, guys. We got a few letters this week. We will get to them next week. I'm going to do my best to post those letters. And this week I will be in Australia. By the time this comes out, I think I'll be in Australia starting March 13th. I believe, and Jacksonville, Florida this week, and then Australia. Send us your letters, guys. We appreciate your support on Patreon, patreon.com/autastic. As always, you can do us a big favor too. There is a opportunity to rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud, and all those guys, and we appreciate your rate and reviews. Sometimes the people that don't enjoy something are very quick to review things, and the people that enjoy it just enjoy it, and they don't take the extra step to rate and review. We do appreciate all those reviews, and it means a lot to us, guys. We appreciate it. Thank you so much for your support. Guys and gals, have a great week. You can do it. Thank you.